back to this edition of the Hagmann Report. Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com and Aaron Brickman. Discussion of cryptocurrencies. Really, what is this all about? And I'd like to just come out of this hour just to remind people. Steve, I'm going to ask you, when you put together this program and you said it's necessary, Doug, to have this program, something impressed your heart. I mean, something was on your heart to have a program, this program itself, to discuss cryptocurrencies. If you can just encapsulate what.
Sure. The thing that Aaron did for me as helping me to understand, and by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I am as dyed-in-the-wool, gold and silver guy as you could ever bet or ever get. But I wanted to know the technology and the transformation that would take place. He helped me to understand that. Until that point, I was oblivious. The Bible says, and this is an important scripture, the children in this generation are wiser than the children of light. In other words, the Christians aren't known for, you know, having great understanding outside of what God gives them. So it's usual that the sheep are always overruled by the wolves. The wolves have been the bankers. Let's face it. Central banking has destroyed the world. The military industrial complex moves by money. Murder, Inc., whether it's with atom bombs or, sidearms or the latest grenade launcher, rail guns, lasers, masers, and, you know, other weapons that most people don't know even exist. The whole idea, Doug, the reason this is critical is because it's changing, and to the degree that we can help people to understand this, and by the way, I feign no intimate knowledge of the stuff Aaron has taught me. Aaron is probably one of, and I want to say this, Aaron, this isn't to flatter you, but he's probably one of the most dedicated prayer warriors I know. He's also one of the brightest men I've ever met. Now, the Bible tells me to give credit to whom credit's due, honor to whom honor's due. But also, there were some amazing, I would say this, prophetic events happening that only God could orchestrate to bring this about. Aaron is smarter than I am. He stayed out of the public light longer than I did. But I said, brother, welcome to my man cave if you ever decide to go back there. So the idea is simply this, Doug. God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, Aaron, I want to address one thing. The pullback that's going to happen, and then I believe this is Jay sent me a question. By the Federal Reserve, he's asking this question. I think it's a great question. Is the Federal Reserve able to artificially raise the value of Bitcoin by buying it, obviously generating fiat money, and thereby basically run it up and then crash it to destroy Bitcoin or give the perception of fragility? That's really a good question.
They right. could. That they could. They could certainly look. It's going to be much harder for them to manipulate than anything that it's not within their system. See, everything that they're manipulating right now on Wall Street, they can do naked shorting. That's what they do in gold and silver. They dump a phantom supply, a third of the world's production. Of course, they don't actually hand it over. It's all through paper. They can't do that in Bitcoin. So all they could do, so they can't just go in there naked short of it and smash it. They could go in there and physically buy it.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. I think that's what Jay's asking, too.
And then they have to, but here's the problem. They're now buying it, which is shooting up the price. So when they go to sell it, they will sell it and start a panic to the downside but here's where panics, people don't understand. Panics don't happen because prices go down. Panics happen because there's a lack of offers to buy. Okay? This is how we get a crash in 2008. It's where everybody has bought. There are no more buyers, and you step out. What they would do, they've created by having this price explosion. Jamie Dimon comes out and says, it's a scam, don't get into it. That was 3,000 on Bitcoin? We're now at 20,000, and that was 3 months, 2 months ago. Every time they say Bitcoin is a scam, every time they say Bitcoin is going to die, and then it goes higher, it actually gives it legitimacy. They have now created such awareness in the mind of the public that as they bought the price going to this question, and it goes up, and then they sell it, and it starts coming down, there's not going to be a lack of buyers. There are going to be all kinds of buyers that haven't been able to get in and will step in and support the price. Because, again, okay.
Yes. Yes, it does. And if I may, just very, very quickly, 45 seconds, for those just joining us or for those still unclear, you know, my question was, what is Bitcoin? It's a currency. It's a new currency. And just what Aaron had said, created in 2009 by someone using the alias Satoshi Nakamoto. There's no middlemen to this, meaning no banks. There are no transaction fees. No need to give even your real name. There's a level of anonymity here. Merchants now more merchants are accepting bitcoins. They could be used to buy merchandise anonymously. International payments are easy, cheap. They're not tied to any country or subject to any regulation. To buy marketplaces, you buy them. Bitcoin exchanges allow people to buy or sell bitcoins using different currencies, whether it's the yen or the dollar. People can send bitcoins to others using mobile apps. Mining, as you had mentioned, people compete to mine bitcoins using computers to solve anything from complex math puzzles to various other means. So in owning bitcoins, they're stored in a digital wallet that exists either in the cloud or on someone's computer. That's how you store your money. So at least that's the fundamental aspect of a Bitcoin, for example. And I should note that in 2009, just looking at this, it started out you know, 6 cents. It didn't hit a dollar until 2011 in February, and now it's at 20 grand or thereabouts. And the value is determined essentially by supply and demand. And I hopefully answered people's questions just by that foundational reason.
And Aaron, because we're running out of time, you know, I think people need to understand there are other opportunities and offshoots. And I think it's really good if you'll explain the different platforms and the different offerings and which ones are the most, if you will, do you feel comfortable in doing that? Like Ethereum?
Yeah, and I love Doug's summation. Let's cover price and then cover alternatives.
Right. And by the way, let me say one thing, everyone. I'd ask that everybody be in prayer for Henry Groover. During one of the breaks, he sent me a picture. He's just undergoing massive facial surgery on the East Coast, and some of you rightly identified that he had very severe skin cancer, basal cell carcinoma. And I just got a picture of him. I mean, he sent me what after surgery. He was in surgery a lot today. And keep him in your prayers that God will give him miraculous healing intervention. Those of you who have been blessed by Henry's ministry and we're at, our thing in Branson, you know, the True Legends Conference, he really could use your prayers. And I thank you for your prayers for him. Because he's one sore boy, and it looks like literally, this is no exaggeration. I'm sure this, maybe I'm going overboard to say this, but his eyes are black and blue, his whole face is swollen, and it looks like he's been literally, you know, through the mill. And Henry's 75, 76 years old. God's given him strength, but pray for him. And just, I wanted to thank you for that. And Aaron, I really think it's critical that we get into the alternatives because I'm getting emails from people I know. And I mean, at $19,000, I mean, first of all, let me do this, you know, almost the word I don't use much, linearly. Let's explain where you're looking or at the time period roughly where you think there will be a pullback and then some alternatives to some stuff. There are other, if you will, cryptocurrencies that have explosive growth potential that people, if they feel they want to get into it and are financially capable of getting into it, that can do that. So will you do that in that order, if that's the order that seems right to you?
Absolutely. Right now, personal opinion, not giving a financial advice because I'm not a financial advisor. My personal opinion is no way am I a buyer of this market. No way. I don't care. Right now, we're at 17,000. We have been in a $5,000 range today, between 20,000 and 15,000. That is more volatile than any product that has ever been financially traded. I was on the phone with Chicago on the trading desk for other financial products this morning, and we were watching it in real time, and they cannot believe what we are witnessing. I would say this. I believe that we are seeing the first truly globally traded product that the masses have access to before the elite.
Every
other financial product in our life, the elite, the VC companies, in pre-qualified, what they call institutional investors who have to have net worth well in excess of millions, get first dibs at every major investment vehicle that Wall Street takes to the public. We are called the retail investor. They hand us the leftovers. They are upset, and that's to put it mildly, that a bunch of kids and tech and middle-class people, and they ridicule this in the press, the cab driver, this waiter, this guy, like they know more than Wall Street. Well, apparently they do. So they, because of security laws, the professionals have actually been the last to participate legally. So, and we're now watching an asset class that is rising across the planet as the masses can get out of the fiat system and get into this. The valuations both for gold and silver and cryptocurrencies are not even reflective of their intrinsic value. They're reflective of the hyperinflation that we have all lived through over the last 40 years. As they've reduced all fiat to zero.
That's a perfect analysis, I believe. Not that you needed my endorsement. And by the way,
Doug Hagman, I'll take your endorsement all day long.
No. And Steve, I want to address one thing here, okay? Because I've gotten like a half a dozen emails. Because we're talking about Bitcoin, that does not mean I personally or we are endorsing cryptocurrency. We discuss spirit cooking. That doesn't mean we go out and make a meal of blood and semen, okay? So
yeah, we don't ask our neighbor over for dinner and he ends up the entree. I got to tell you, no, that's not at all what we're talking about. Look, both Aaron and I, Aaron is, you know, this is not talking out of school, Aaron, but Aaron is one of the guys that was in the gold market, still is in the gold market, still is in the silver market, and obviously he's an investor, and obviously he's done his homework. In no way, shape, or form, let me make this clear, Doug, no way, shape, or form am I telling anyone to sell their investment holdings in gold, silver. I'll be blunt, I'm not. And the point is no way am I saying that. But what's missed on most people is that the manipulation of the metals market's been done through Wall Street. I believe Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies at all, are going to break the manipulation of the metals. I believe we're going to the moon on gold, and you missed it. Well, I know everybody missed it when Aaron was talking about the new electrics, the new electronics. Everything in that world that's coming into being that is in such a futuristic setting with products being built today uses silver. The reason the control in the silver market is so vast, and it's the most hammered market in the history of any commodity, is because the powers that be that, no, and by the way, I don't know, Aaron, is it JP Morgan or is it somebody else that's got, I mean, literally, you know, thousands of tons of silver? They know where it's going, and it's interesting. The people that are manipulating it the most are buying the most. So, Doug, can I make it any clearer than that? That's not what we're doing. That's not what Aaron is doing. What Aaron is doing is telling people, look, I just posted on my website the fourth turning. Things are changing. And the thing is that, and I said this, I'm on record, the idea is that the whole charade of central banking, the whole charade of banking control of the money and controlling the people, God in his wisdom is going to break the back of that. Now, did God invent cryptocurrencies? Absolutely not. But what is happening is people have been in a form of economic slavery. They've been under the boot. It doesn't matter how much you make, they make sure even the dumbass, and I'll call it that, tax relief plan, that it doesn't benefit the middle class. The middle class is destroyed. You know what kind of crap I got on that, Aaron, when I said it, you know, a decade ago, that the middle class was going to be destroyed, and I rest my case, econometrically, it has been destroyed. The thing is that what we're bringing is to tell you the fact that this is going to change everything. Now, if I were to get into currencies, and I got a killing on an under, and we got to get to that, Aaron, underlying other cryptocurrencies, the minute I got a home run, guess where I'm putting it, Doug? I'm putting it in the metals, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter, no matter what, it's what you got in hand. It's not what you got in a even in another land. It used to be Switzerland was Valhalla. Now, with the exception of private reserves and banks, the Swiss won't even turn over the gold. Nobody's turning over the gold. Why aren't they turning over the gold? Because the Chinese bought it all. The Russians are buying what the Chinese don't buy. And then India's buying the leftovers. And the American people are deaf, dumb, and stupid when it comes to not being able to see the plan. So, Aaron, we go into the second tier. And again, Aaron's on record saying he would not be a buyer at these levels. $5,000 in a day? I remember when I used to trade silver, you know, and futures. And, I mean, you know, one minute you think you're a hero when you're up $300,000, and then the next day you're down $400,000, and you end up being $100,000 a hole, and for 12 hours you think you're the smartest guy in the world, and then for the next 10 years you think you're the dumbest fool that ever lived. I'm only speaking about myself. The point is that we're bringing you the where everything is going and the end of central banking, and I made the statement, I would not put it past these guys to bring us into a world war to try and maintain their hold, because it, but let me share this, they won't be able to. So Aaron, give the second tier if you would, and tell people that there are other opportunities besides Bitcoin, and explain kind of the platforms versus the you know, what makes a investable one, not as an investment advice, but you, I mean, you know, you're a trader. What do you look for? Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. Very quickly, cryptocurrency, and Bitcoin is only one of them. Cryptocurrency at its basic level is software. It's very important that we understand it is software that is running. The software is within a digital environment, and it has different properties. So, for example, Bitcoin was created, there's only 21 million. That's a highly deflationary type of currency. There are other cryptocurrencies that want to have a different model. They use the same technology of the blockchain, the ledger, all that back-end stuff they're utilizing, pretty much similar, but they have a different vision. So some of them are inflationary. There's more and more as you use more and more are created. Well, I think that I don't want that personally, so I'm not investing in that type of cryptocurrency. So what we're seeing now is different cryptocurrencies having different economic visions, and to the degree that they can rally around people with consensus and community who buy into that vision, that gives it value. This is, and I keep going back to this because it's very important that the listener understand. That is, because if you don't understand that, you're going to go, well, why are there 20 cryptocurrencies? Why now are there 100? Why now? That's the reason why. currency, and here, this is a fundamental belief of these guys, sovereignty does not create currency. It used to. But what the cryptocurrency world is inverting on its head is that currency, the ability to create your own currency, the ability to be a blogger back in the internet days, that is what creates sovereignty. Okay? The New York Times isn't the sole authority. Once I have that ability, I've created a level of sovereignty. I now get to decide what truth is and report it, not them. These guys that are bringing out cryptocurrency, their basic ethos is, we have created a currency. We are forming an ecosystem. We are forming a community. Come, join us, invest with us, trade amongst us. That makes us sovereign. If you don't like it, don't join us. Go join Bitcoin. Go join Ethereum. Go join Litecoin. They have different visions. This is radical stuff. So, addressing your question, Steve, right now, we might see 25, 30,000 in the next month. I don't even really care, frankly. It is so overheated right now. I'm not chasing that market. I'm not a momentum trader. I like to buy stuff when it's on sale. And right now, it is not on sale. So we will, and people, I think that it's a great day to have this conversation when a lot of people are probably, you know, very excited. Some people are excited. Some people are fearful. Everybody wonders what's going on with the price. Prices don't go up forever. We've seen that. They don't go down forever. They don't go up forever. They will always come back to the mean. There's always a reversion to the mean. There's reversion to the average. We will always come back down. So I encourage people to do some research. Use this interview to spark an interest. Go research. There's great articles. And wait for a pullback. The pullback might come from 25,000 in a month. I don't know. But if we go from 25,000, I do know this, every correction in Bitcoin has been a minimum 30%. Minimum. Some of the corrections have been 50 to 90%. Okay? We've never seen correction. We would call that in a traditional market a crash, if not a depression. Bitcoin is right now, this entire year, Bitcoin is having 30% corrections every 2 months by clockwork. Last year, they were even having greater corrections. I'm just spending some time to just tell people, breathe. Don't go chase this market. Maintain. Don't get into the emotional hype. Don't get greedy. If you're going to get into cryptocurrency, be patient, do some research, and wait for a 30% drop, 40%. You might even see 50, 60%. In regards to second tier, the top, if you're making a list, if I was advising somebody, I'm not going to advise. Personally, if I was personally investing, the blue chips would be Bitcoin, Litecoin, and Ethereum. Litecoin is very similar to Bitcoin, only the transaction speed is lightning fast, hence Litecoin. It is trading at $96 right now. I estimate a year from now, 1,000, easy. Bitcoin, the technical guys are looking at 100,000 plus on Bitcoin. Ethereum is very important. You're going to hear in the news a lot more next year about Ethereum. Ethereum is a cryptocurrency. It's a blockchain, but it is engaging in smart contracts. We probably don't have time to go into smart contracts tonight. Smart contracts are going to what Bitcoin is initially doing to the banking system. Smart contracts are going to do to real estate agents, holding companies, the media. Time doesn't permit. If you are, what's radical about cryptocurrency is if you are a third-party provider, if you are a gatekeeper in any industry, you're obsolete. you're about to be removed from the people. The people, you're going to hear this more and more in the news, peer to peer. They don't want to buy, they want to go direct to the other party in exchange of value or exchange of information.
This is why we bring brilliant minds on. Aaron Brickman, Steve Quayle, talking about this. That I said that to say this because you just described the revolution to Steve's fourth turning, which we're in. Getting it now, I understand. Go ahead.
Ethereum. Ethereum is, you're seeing, now you're going to see the banks, and you're seeing it. The banks and the tech companies are scrambling. And they're saying, oh, we're doing blockchain too. And we're joining alliances, and we're going to build the blockchain. Well, I have to laugh about that because, yeah, the New York Times or Time Magazine stopped printing a magazine and went online, but that didn't change their reporting or their behavior. So the gatekeepers adopting technology, trust me, they're gonna tweak the code. They're not going to release the blockchain. They will refine the blockchain in make it serve their purpose. And this is the fight. This is what it's gonna come down to. The fight over the blockchain is going to be competing software. They're going to offer their darkest vision of control inside a digital grid, and the entrepreneurs are going to offer the original blockchain, and the masses are going to have to decide. And it's going to be a fight. The government and the industries will not, they're not going to go down with a fight. There's too much money and power. I'm under no illusion or delusion that this is, but this is the change that we're about to witness over the next 10, 15 years. Getting back to the fourth turning is about a 20-year process. That fourth turning began in 2008. Coincidence that the white paper was written at the same time? I don't think so. So we aren't even halfway through the fourth turning. What you, Doug, and Joe and Steve are seeing with YouTube and in the alt media attacks and everything that's coming, that's part of the fourth turning. And it's only going to intensify as we move forward over the next 10 to 15 years. But make no mistake, when we come out of the fourth turning and we come into the first turning, and this is an 80-year process from first to fourth, we're in the final 20 years of this entire process. Think the first turning was the 1950s. The fourth turning was the Great Depression and World War II, where every institution since the Civil War was dismantled, destroyed. Power was shifted across the globe. It came to reside in the United States. A new empire came up. During the first turning, America rose, new financial system, new banking system, UN, World Bank, IMF, you name the global institutions, they rose. The media, everything else, all of that we have lived through, that's a product of the first turning. It's being dismantled now. And the fight right now is for who is going to create and compete and control the institutions that will be cemented globally in the 2030s. The fight is not in the 2030s. The fight is right now for what the 2030s and 40s are going to look like. Second tier, back to this, the salt. So these cryptocurrencies all have a different, they function similarly, but they have a different vision. The three, Bitcoin, Litecoin, Ethereum, are the blue chips. Think of those as your blue chips. That's why Wall Street wants into Bitcoin. They don't want to take a chance on some unproven cryptocurrency. They want the leader, they want the original. After that, I suggest EOS. It's called EOS. OMG, which is Chinese, or it's really going to be in the Chinese market. NEO, N-E-O, is going to be Chinese. It's the Chinese alternative to the Ethereum smart contract network. Qtum, Q-T-U-M, is going to be in the Chinese market. By the way, the Chinese will go into cryptocurrency. The Russians will go into cryptocurrency. Besides their grandstanding and posturing over the last 3 months, why will they get into cryptocurrency? Because it gets their people out of the dollar system.
I think that's the atom bomb for tonight, everyone. That is the atom bomb. Doug, if everybody quits using the dollar simultaneously, and because of, let's just use the word, spycraft, you can bet your bottom dollar that CSIS, Chinese Central Intelligence, Chinese Secret Intelligence Service, obviously, you know, the forerunner now of the KGB, all of the intelligence agencies of the world know this. So the thing is that Putin and obviously the Chinese and the Indians and the Saudis even, everybody sees that the day of the dollar is basically coming to an end. And those even in the oil business will make a change, because with the Ethereum platform, you know, and contracts, I mean, everything's instantaneous. What do you think that does to, you know, the sharks that are in the water known as lawyers? I mean, can I say something? I don't think, Aaron, I don't know that you've addressed that tonight, but let's just say this. Man, if you think the sharks are disappearing in the ocean, watch what happens to lawyers. And, oh, excuse me, what about accountants, you know? So, I mean, here's the deal. You're seeing the extinction. I always love the bottom line. You're seeing the extinction of the world's financial system being replaced by a totally new and truly new but transforming form of commerce. And you know, this is fascinating. Von Clausewitz, in his classic work on war, you know, made the statement, I've quoted this 100 times on talk radio, when goods don't cross borders, armies do. Do you realize, too, that this takes away much of the motive, which is profit for war? I mean, I don't think people really get it. Now, I didn't either, okay? I want you to know, Doug, I mean, you know, if I was on the slow boat to China, man, I was on the rowboat to China. But I thank God that Aaron was released to help those of us that are a little slower to understand what this is. So, I'll tell you what, Aaron, I'll put up on my alert section because a lot of people are trying to write all this stuff down. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'll try and have that up tomorrow. Again, this is not investment advice, but I tell people this. It doesn't matter whether gold or silver market. You have to decide, you know, when there's a sell-off, just like there is in gold and silver now, this is the time to buy it. Same thing when the cryptos sell off. And personally, I could never see me buying, you know, Bitcoin, but I could see me buying Litecoin. I could see me buying something that's been as high as 400 for 50 bucks because, you know, I could see that. But I would not take any money out of my contemporary holdings, because look, here's the thing. We're in a never land that we've never experienced before, and I would say this, Aaron, this is probably one of the biggest financial events in history. Because
I'm sorry, Steve.
No, go ahead, I'm done.
This is going to be bigger than the Industrial Revolution. The Industrial Revolution and Adam Smith ushered in. It liberated. It took the finances from the crown and from the elite inside across Europe, inside the courts, and it dispersed it to the people. The shopkeepers, the innkeepers, we got out of mercantilism and went into capitalism. The capitalism only got us so far, and I love capitalism. What I mean by that is it's been strangled, and gates have been erected to control capitalism, to control the flow of ideas, to control the flow of creativity and entrepreneurship. They have controlled, corralled, and now they're destroying in the markets. True capitalism. We have two-thirds of the planet that either has limited access to capital or no capital. What happened? And that has been done on purpose because the bankers want to keep them in poverty. They've made alliances. They've made deals with ruling elite. And on another hand, they don't have any money. People that are subsisting on less than $2 a day, they couldn't cover a banking fee or get a bank wire. So we have two-thirds of the planet don't even participate in the global economy. And what I'm saying is the cryptocurrency, because it's going to be accessed here in the next couple of years, anybody that has a cell phone is going to be able to access crypto. It runs on top of the net. It's a protocol. They will be able to access their money without a gatekeeper. And what happens when two-thirds of the planet has access to capital? Can exchange capital with no gatekeepers, no bankers involved. What kind of creativity? Quick example. How about this? There's a disaster in Bangladesh. People in the United States, digital money, they can instantly send $10 million in cryptocurrency to people in need in Bangladesh. There's no third party. There's no Red Cross in between that has hierarchy and is going to squander most of the money. Do you understand the level of disruption this is about to cause?
And therein lies the importance, relevance, and rub.
Absolutely. And again, how do I say this? I love the cartoon illustration of, all the, if you will, the early 60s cartoons where you get somebody, Sylvester the Cat with two symbols on the head and his head's in the middle and whatever that Tom and Jerry Mouse, I don't remember the player so well. But that's what's happening right now. The rest of the world is waking up. And, the joke is, and it's a tragedy. The joke is that we printed so many dollars and traded our dollars for real goods, and the value of those dollars diminished with the sheer amount of currency being flooded on the market. And what Aaron just said is this: the age of entrepreneurs can come back into the market versus all the secret patent bastardized control of, and by the way, goes true for medical. I mean, there are people that are incredibly brilliant out there who can't get capital because of them will keep them down. I'm telling you this, that the word innovation explosion isn't even accurate enough. So again, ladies and gentlemen, this is giving you a glimpse into a world that most of us don't pay attention to, and now tonight we're confronted with it, and we're confronted with it because now you start to see why every tech company of that has any of what I would say genuine transferable technology and value gets priced so high. So I think that you're going to see some amazing things, hint, coming on the market that are going to basically also ensure, and I'll be blunt, if Christians have to run to their life and God saves a safe zone, the thing is that I'm praying that, that the Lord speaks to his people, and people can quote the scripture, what is it, Aaron, the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous? That doesn't mean you go out and covet and want to steal your neighbor's wife or his fortune or his technology. It's kind of like Bozeman, Montana. I make this statement. I stand by it. When somebody comes in with a good business, you have the originators, and then after that, you get the duplicators, and it's true in anything. So this will break that, just trying to do. It doesn't matter if it's franchises. It doesn't matter, what it is, but if you got one, you got to have four more, and they don't understand. It's not about diluting an existing pie. It's about baking, it's about making bakeries and baking all the pies that are necessary to satisfy the appetite. That's about as close as I get to a kitchen. Go ahead.
It's capital formation is control. It starts with the love of money. It starts with capital. And when you take the, when you take these guys out of the equation, and capital can freely be exchanged without any interference, without any control, without any authority deciding whether they can recall it, isolate it, then you're going to see an explosion, like Steve said. You will see an explosion of creativity and innovation across this planet, coupled with the last 20 years of the Internet as a communications device. We will witness innovation and creativity on a level that we haven't even known or experienced. One thing that is really surprising, I think you'll get a kick out of this, Steve, I was reading a book the other day out of Silicon Valley. They have taken innovation and they have laid over the innovation curve goes parabolic. It's going parabolic over the last 200 years. And they've laid it over the population growth of the planet, and they're identical. It terrifies them.
And that may be true. That's why the elitists want to kill off everybody, because they want to control the innovation at their hand. And obviously, if you know that they're losing control, then they want to make sure that anyone that would gain the control is offed. Off, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, means killed or taken out of the picture. So, again, my number one concern, Aaron, because I think we're down to the, last, Doug, 18 minutes or something?
Yeah,
17 minutes, is that the situation in Korea and some of the, and this is critical, and the appointment of the new head of the Fed hating cash, I don't think that people understand this. The word freedom terrifies the bastard rulers, and a bastard, I want to define bastard so you guys don't have to say, well, if you were a good Christian man, you wouldn't use that term. That's what God called the offspring of the fallen angels and earth women, who, in my opinion, still control the world from behind the scenes. So, how does that fit into this? The love of money is the root of all evil. The control of money is the control of all evil. And what Aaron is telling you tonight, in no uncertain terms, that control is going to be destroyed, decentralized, and you're going to cut out the middlemen, you're going to cut out the support for all that, and that's why somebody says, hey, Steve, I got a great idea for this, that, or the other thing, and I'm just using this as an example, I need to raise, $5,000, or you're going to see offers in real time, and they're going to be instantaneous. As fast as a man can read an offering, he can decide. As fast as the agreement can be sent, it's going to be signed, but it's going to be a different way of doing everything. It's going to be between the funding source and the individual. And Aaron, that's taking place right now. The PayPal guy has already integrated that. I think they're called microloans,
They're trying to take that stuff and integrate it into their system, because they don't want to have to come over to the new system.
Okay? Exactly.
Do not confuse the two. Okay, their digital money is exactly what you and Doug and Joe and others have warned about. It is a prison of control. This is not. This is why they're terrified of it. I want to say this because we're going to get into the economic system. The Industrial Revolution upended the economic order. It also brought in a new taxation system, completely new way of taxation. Okay, I'm telling you guys, I'm telling everybody, this thing is so revolutionary. They can tinker with the tax code all they want in D.C. 5 years from now, it won't exist. All I got to do is look at history. This will get so out of control that they will have to go to a sales tax or a VAT tax. They will not be able to do income tax anymore. They will not be able to keep track of all. There is no tracking of this. It's addresses. It's not even names. In, out, and there's no, when this is all taking place, you're not going through gatekeepers that are keeping a financial history of it. and then handing it over to the IRS at the end of the year, like Charles Schwab would do, like the credit card companies would do if they were audited. This is wreaking havoc with the whole way that they watch and garnish your money.
If I can interject one thing here for a point of clarification, when the program first started, I was worried. I was concerned because it seemed like a rocky subject with, it just seemed rocky, the whole concept. Now you have explained it. Now I can see. And I don't think any other show, any other person, leave it to Steve Quayle, leave it to Aaron Brickman to do this, to contextualize this topic. Folks, don't confuse this with digital banking. This circumvents the entire system. It short circuits the entire system, which is why it's revolutionary, which is, Aaron started out talking about the revolution first. This is exactly what this is. Now I get it, and I hope everyone that's listening gets this. And as you said, okay, it's going to lay waste to the current model, the current economic system that we've got. This now it makes sense. I said all that just to say it makes sense now. Now I can see the impact, the importance, the relevance, and the future. And what you said, what you said about the parabolic curve, the innovation versus the population, extremely important, I think, when everyone understands that. And programs to date I've listened to about cryptocurrencies, and I have listened to them. I'm not that stupid. I do know how to operate a fax machine. So having said that, now you put it in the proper or in perfect context, both of you. And I've got to say, this is the first program I've heard that lays this out in the context in which I believe it should have been laid out. And I want to thank you both, but continue on. We still have about 10 minutes left, I think.
That's high praise from you, Doug. I appreciate it. I approach this whole night kind of with trepidation, and not because of you guys, but it is a massive topic. It is. We're only scratching the surface, and it is so overwhelming. And I feel for the people. If you're one of the listeners who is just completely still confused, it's not you. We are dealing with historic level 300-400 year cycle change. We're dealing with technology. I'm a technology entrepreneur for 20 years, and I'm sitting in meetings having to wrap my head around it. I want everybody out there, I appreciate you taking the time to listen, being patient, trying to work through these ideas. And if you're still struggling, you're not alone. I spend each day still trying to come to grasp of the profound change that is upon the planet. But I feel like there's an opportunity for Christians, Christian businessmen, Christian entrepreneurs, men, women, Christian community, Christian activists to come together and to understand this. I'm not saying we have to support it tomorrow morning, but I do think it's relevant. It's more relevant. It is going to be more life-affecting and life-altering than the Internet. This is beyond anything the Internet has done in the last 20 years. And I want to make this statement. Because there's a lot of people that still think, well, cryptocurrency was probably an NSA project, and there's a backdoor, and somehow they're going to take everybody's money. We've all heard that, right? Am I the only one?
Oh, no.
No, I've heard it. I actually believe that the NSA, is involved in this at some level, or breakaway aspects of it, or just pissed off people. Sorry for the language, everyone, but it's real. In the NSA, I mean, you're talking about just the concept of this from the Japanese sounding gentleman to be so far out of the periphery, and again, Aaron, in the last couple minutes, we're talking about stuff now. They're talking about D-wave computing, quantum computing. They're talking about, and by the way, didn't the Chinese just say they now have totally non-decipherable encryption? They have algorithms. So in essence, that if they've got them, others have got them. So would you say, too, the platform that comes up with the most sophisticated or possibly exists, encryption and algorithms and protection will be number one concern, and you said speed. Well, speed, so if somebody wants to do a Bitcoin transaction between two willing parties, it takes, what, 3-4 minutes sometimes? So is Coinbase, here's my big question. When you talked about the innovation realm and you talked about the 1.5%, then the visionary, and then the pragmatist, and you gave out the percentages, can Coinbase, and who else is the other one, the big one, can they keep up with it? These ladies and gentlemen, that Coinbase, and what I'm asking Aaron for is another name, they get overwhelmed. 100,000 new accounts a day. Well, that's boggling. I can tell you this, that doesn't happen in the stock market. Go ahead, Aaron.
Oh, real quick, I do not believe, I do, regardless of whether, let's take two sides. Let's take the side that the NSA, this is an NSA project. Let's just take that side. We know the internet was DARPA. How's it working out for them? How's it working out for their centralized propaganda campaign via the internet?
Good
point. Not ask the alt media, I'd say not very well. What these guys, even if they were behind it, and I actually do not believe they were behind it, but having been in technology for 20 years, I will tell you this, technology is the ultimate double-edged sword. It cuts both ways, and you better be real careful. And however you intend the technology to be, how you intend it, is rarely how it's used by the masses. Okay, so when we launch our, how you set up your navigation, Steve, on the website, if you watch the way people navigate, it's never the way that the web designers thought it would be.
So, another good point, yep.
So this is, so I do not believe, and I don't, time doesn't have permit to get into quantum computing and why I do not believe, even if they could hack, I will say this, even if they could hack the blockchain, like I said earlier, all it contains is an address and an amount. This isn't like you got into a database with credit card companies or bank statements, or you saw one address sending X amount to that address. What are you going to do? What are you going to do with that? So, what was the other question we had? What was your last question?
Alternative, or can Coinbase, Steve, correct me if I'm wrong,
yeah,
Coinbase.
Can Coinbase handle the volume, and who's the other one, the big, where the question, because people are still asking, well, where do I get it? Let's say they decide to get it. What's the other exchange where they can literally, it's simple, whether they write a check or bank wire and they get whatever they get,
Coinbase will remedy the situation. Obviously, they have an economic incentive to remedy the situation, so they will remedy that situation. Although I will say that if we're only at 1.5% adoption and we're about to go over the next 2 years to 13.5%, not only will that affect the price, but that will obviously, they will have to scale, and it's not as easy to scale as you would think, even though it's a digital realm. They will be challenged with that. Expect delays over the next year, 2 years, although I know that they have come out and made commitments that they are going to increase their staff 16-fold during the year 2018, and that they are going to eventually, by the end of 2018, have 24-hour, 7-day-a-week customer support. So
now, listen, address, if you would, Aaron, because we're down to the last 6 minutes, address the fact of what happens with the exchanges, okay? Because Cliff High is on record saying that explain that they're going to allow futures and et cetera in this, but that it will overwhelm the system.
Real quick, and I thank you, Steve. Real quick, these guys are so greedy that their greed is blinding them in using some common sense. Wall Street is going to use derivative financial products in the form of futures to add leverage to what I already described as the most volatile financial product the planet has ever seen. What do I mean by that? I mean that today, in 30 minutes, we saw a 30% rally in the price of a product. And 45 minutes later, it lost a third. No, it didn't. It lost 25% of its value. That took place all within the span of about 2 hours. Can you imagine applying 5 times leverage to that? they will blow these accounts up. I have told people, I have talked to Chicago, they are afraid of it. They don't, some of the firms are not going to offer this. I agree with Cliff High. There's only one way this is going to end. There was a Zero Hedge article today that is talking about how the clearinghouses and even some of the banks, including J.P. Morgan and Goldman, are now starting to think that this thing could come back to bite them and take not them down, but take some of the clearinghouses down, because they would have to step in. And if any trader, I mean, if the losses are greater than the trader's account, then it has to go to the clearinghouse. You can't add five times the leverage to a product that has 30% swings in a couple of hours, both ways, by the way. This is unheard of. So I do agree with Cliff High. I think it ends really badly. That gets into the debate is, will that spill over? It's at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. They're the ones that are doing the fraudulent gold and silver in every other market. Will that spill over into the gold and silver and some of their other product lines where they can't control those markets either? And they can't control it because it eats up their liquidity to have to cover losses over on Bitcoin. So maybe, hey, I don't know, maybe God's blinding them. Maybe he's inducing them through their greed into their own destruction. We've been seeing that lately. Hollywood, in the government, in what you guys have been covering. I mean, so maybe that's what's to come in Wall Street. But I will tell you this, do not trade. If you have $1 million, $2 million, and you think you can trade futures, yeah, you can trade futures on an S&P that has a 0.5% move in a day, but not something that moves 30% in an hour. They used to call those crashes. I've traded two crashes, and I traded the 2000-2001 crash and the 2008 crash. And I will tell you what, I this is like trading those crashes on a daily basis right now.
Wow.
And you end up in a fetal position and banging your head against the wall. I have a wall of humility. I look at pictures of in those days of my life, Aaron, and I look to the right, bang my head there. Now, I'm taking a metaphor, but what I say is it's a reminder. He's telling everyone, bottom line, Doug, don't get in the futures and stuff. I'll put up tomorrow, we're just about out of time, I'll put up tomorrow Aaron's list of what he's doing. He is not a licensed counselor, and most of them who are counselors, financial counselors, have no clue of what you just heard. Ladies and gentlemen, you got an introductory lesson to a PhD of future economics. And I got to thank you, Aaron. Thank you so much for obeying the Lord and coming out to your cave. And you're welcome to mine when I go back into mine.
Amen. Steve, I just have to say this real quick because we're at the end of the show. Steve, when you promised a good program, you delivered exponentially. And I want to say thank you, Aaron Brickman, for your expertise. Again, you've explained this cryptocurrency unlike anyone else I've heard explain it. Two brilliant minds, and I say that with all respect. And thank you both. We're at the end of the program. Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com, Aaron Brickman. Aaron, is there any way that people can follow you? You don't have anything, do you? Digital footprint or anything?
I tell Steve I like to live in the shadow.
Well, I'll tell you what. As Steve said, we're all going to join you there. Steve, thanks so much for putting together a great program.
Bye-bye,
thank
Doug.
You,
God
guys.
Bless,
I really appreciate what you guys do, Doug.
All right. God bless. Folks, that'll do it for us. We're at the end of the hour. God bless. Hope you had a... Hey, listen to this show again. Good night, everyone.